ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. So last week we were discussing about how devotional service, it destroys prarabdha karma. We discussed how Srila Prabhupada gives different stages of destroying prarabdha karma. Krishna can destroy the manifested karma in the form of, you know, diseased chronic body, ugly body, uneducated body, or legal implications. He can directly destroy them all, or else he can give very minimal effect of those karmas. That is also considered as destroying all the prarabdha karma. And thirdly, by practicing devotional service, one gets such a strength, even if the prarabdha karmas, apparent prarabdha karma, even though they may appear, but they not affect our consciousness. And we also discussed about the aprarabdha karma. And we were discussing about bija haratvam, destroying our material desires. And the material desires, as we discussed, that if you try to fulfill the material desires, they give rise to more material desires. And we were discussing about how in the Kumbh Mela, people come to eradicate all of their sinful activities because of their material desires. But the mere fact they don't know that while taking bath they are committing sin. That also we discussed. We discussed about taking Charanamrit with that calculative mind. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Ajamil and the elephant bath. Very brilliant example. When Ajamil was living like a Brahman, he was very dedicated to his Varna. But still, when he saw something which gave rise to the material desire, and with all of his Brahmanical strength, he could not control it. He fell down, he committed unlimited sinful activities. Just see the difference. Here he performed very insignificant sin, even though he was very qualified Brahman. By his Brahmanical power, he could not control the desire to sin. But once he started sinning, there was no limit how much he performed sinful activities. But then Prabhupada explained that one holy name, in fact he was in coma, he was not conscious also. And there was no program to chant Hare Krishna mantra. There was no program to take the holy name of the Lord. But see the difference. But one holy name not only freed him from all kinds of sinful activities, but at the same time the desire to sin was also destroyed at the root. That is the difference. Prabhupada gives the example of elephant taking bath in the river. It takes bath, comes out, rolls in the ground. So similarly, the process of charity, austerity, giving, you know, study of the scriptures, all these things can eradicate our sinful reactions. But they cannot uproot the desire to sin. One devotee was explaining, there are many processes, there are many sadhus, there are many saints. They can help us to eradicate our sin. But Srila Prabhupada and the process of Lord Chaitanya is not only to eradicate sin, but it uproots the desire to sin itself. And that is called as bija haratvam. All other processes, taistani aghani pujyante, vratadana tapodibi, all these things, they help us to eradicate. But the desire to sin which is there within the heart cannot be eradicated by these principles. Only when one who takes to the path of Krishna consciousness, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the desire to sin is eradicated. It is uprooted. And that is quoted in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the story of Ajamil. And then Rupa Goswami discusses about avidya, ignorance. Srila Prabhupada explains material desires lead to ignorance. Ignorance is not automatically caused. Ignorance is caused because of material desires. And one cannot blame. In fact, to remain in ignorance itself is a sin. Sometimes people say, no, he was ignorant. As if he is not at fault. The problem is, if you are in ignorance, that itself is a problem. You can't blame God. That you are supposed to be out of ignorance, but you desire to be in ignorance, that itself is a sin. Nobody can say that, oh, he should be not punished because he was in ignorance. Ignorance is no excuse, and ignorance is caused because of material desires. We saw the classic case, that you are going to the holy bath, but while taking bath, because of your ignorance, because of your material desires, because of your calculative mentality, you are forced to commit sin while eradicating your sin. That is how material nature is very powerful. The ignorance which is caused because of material desires leads us to perform so many sinful activities. Simple example is that one time one baker, he would buy grains from a farmer. And then he realized that this farmer is giving me less grain than what he is actually supposed to give. And then he complained to the village, you know, the government, that this farmer is giving me less grain. And the farmer was caught and actually saw that rather than giving 1 pound of grains, he was giving less. There was 100 gram less grain. So he was accused of not using proper weighing machine. And the farmer was asked, why you don't have a proper weighing machine? He said, my dear sir, whatever the baker gives me, the bread, I use that as a weighing scale. That means the baker itself was giving 100 gram less in his bread. And the farmer was using that as a weighing scale. So the reaction was coming back to him. But unfortunately, the sin made him not to think logistically. When you perform sinful activities, you do not have the logic to even to think that you are the cause of the reaction what you are receiving. Again, when we perform sinful activities, we don't see that, in fact, it is because of my action, as this baker was not able to see very clearly, I am getting 100 gram less grain because I am cheating people by giving 100 gram less of my bread. So this is so simple that one cannot see one's own action which is coming as a reaction. And what to speak of big actions which are giving big reactions. Because ignorance is very thick. It is quite natural that one is not able to understand. Therefore, when somebody says, oh, is ignorant, therefore he should be excused. No. It is cultured. We have cultured ignorance and therefore we have to be held responsible for our ignorance. And on top of that, it is one thing to know that one is ignorant. That is better. But not to be conscious of ignorance, that is greater sin. And most of the materialistic civilization presently has no understanding of their ignorance. In fact, ignorance is taken as bliss. They don't think they are in ignorance. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, this ignorance causes different kinds of suffering. And one ignorance which is called as avidya, in English it is ignorance. Avidya means to mistake which is impermanent to be permanent. Full of misery to be bliss. One is miserable, but that misery is taken as bliss, as Krishna explains in the 18th chapter. Happiness in the mode of ignorance means what? Happiness in the mode of ignorance means that from very beginning it is poisonous. In the middle it is poisonous. In the end it is poisonous. There is no happiness at all. But still, one imagines. Srila Prabhupada explained that in this material world there is full misery and imaginary happiness. That means what? There is no happiness. So that is avidya. To think misery to be happiness and impure to be pure. Something very unclean, but that to be taken as clean. And what is not self, that has been taken as self. And because of this kind of existence, it is quite natural that one suffers unlimitedly. So therefore, we see here that ignorance leads to further material desires. We discussed this last week. That this cycle is so complex. The first is ignorance, then that leads to material desire. Material desire leads to desire to perform sinful activities. Even though one might see, as we discussed, that misery is taken as bliss. I think I told a story that one time in Europe, they saw that pickpocketing became quite prevalent. Everybody was stealing. So the pickpocketers were brought in the marketplace and they were punished publicly. So taking that opportunity, seeing the crowd, the pickpocketers increased their business. So even though one is seeing that other person who is pickpocketing is suffering, but the facility which is there to pickpocket forces one to perform the same act. Srila Prabhupada explains, stealing is not done publicly. Why? Because even the rogue knows that if I steal, I will be caught. But why does he steal? Because the ignorance forces him to desire, and that material desire makes him to perform sinful activities. He is well aware, consciously knows that I am not supposed to do it. But because of the material desires, he cannot. Therefore, Arjuna raised this question. Atakyano prayoktoyam papam charati purushaha anishchanapi varshnaya baladiva niyojit. What is it? It is forcing me to perform even though I do not desire. Kama esha krodha esha. Krishna explained because of material desires. One is well aware, therefore to justify I was ignorant is not at all accepted. Just like somebody sent an anonymous letter to the biggest citizens of a city. And the letter read was, you know, you have been, all of your activities are known and you'll be caught within evening. So before that you flee away from the city. It was an anonymous letter and 7 out of 10 fled from the city. Why? When there is a consciousness of it, when you know that you are going to be caught, you run away. But as long as you are not caught, you still want to continue the sinful activities. Because of what? Because of ignorance, which leads to material desires. Material desire forces one to perform sinful activities. And those sinful activities turn into aprarabdha karma, unmanifested karma, and that unmanifested karma, down, leads to manifested karma, and that aprarabdha karma leads again towards proclivity, you know, greater desire or greater feeling towards performing sinful activities. And then again that goes, that turns into bijam, and that bijam leads to further ignorance. Therefore, to exactly find out, yesterday somebody was asking, that we saw in Kumbakonam. Hundreds of kids were burned to death, innocent children. How do you explain this? Why they have to die? What was their fault in dying like that? They just obeyed the order of their teacher. Yes, there are two things. To deny it is their karma is itself as wrong. And just to accuse them it is their karma is hard-heartedness. In devotional service, there is one thing, a technicalities. But there is another thing, which is the aspect of devotion. Only to say that, you know, it is their karma, therefore they died. It is right, but still it is wrong devotionally. Technically it is right, but devotionally it is wrong. So therefore, here Rupa Goswami, so brilliantly, he talks about the fault, why we are suffering. But he does not only speak about the suffering, he also speaks about, in fact he speaks about suffering so that he can give us the solution how we can come out of this suffering. It is certainly their karma that they had to suffer like that. But at the same time, Rupa Goswami is giving us the facilities that even if somebody has to go through that kind of karma, why not he practice devotional service? If he has the facility, if he had heard Krishna consciousness philosophy, then even if he dies like that, a miserable death, just like during the Mughal invasion, in Rangakshetra, 1200 Vaishnavas were butchered mercilessly. If you go to Ranganath temple, you will find, you know, the carvings are there of the Vaishnavas being butchered. Very ruthlessly they were murdered. Now by seeing that, one might say, what is this? If somebody is practicing God consciousness, how is that they are still suffering this kind of death? Because in the Shastras it is explained, if somebody is murdered, if somebody falls from the mountain cliff, if there is a snake bite, if there is accidental death, that should be taken as severe karma. So how is that these 1200 people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, living in the campus of Ranganath temple, they are butchered like that? That means their prarabdha karma was not destroyed. That is our wrong perception. The Acharya says that even though they were butchered like that, Krishna arranged so that they can quickly go back to the spiritual world. Everybody, one was butchered within the complex of Ranganath temple, all of them went back to the spiritual realm. All of their prarabdha karma was destroyed. Again, Srila Prabhupada explains about Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj was bitten by that Takshaka, that was the, in one sense one can say that it was a reaction for his sin. Of course, it is not a sin, it was the arrangement of the Lord that he put that dead snake around the neck of that sage, Shamik Rishi, right? And then for that he was cursed by his son. But if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this Takshaka snake bit Parikshit Maharaj, he had already left his body. He had gone back to the spiritual world. What Takshaka did was, he only bit the external body of Parikshit. And then, if somebody dies like that, you don't find demigods showering flowers from the heavenly planets. Only for a slight moment, there was distress. But immediately all the demigods, all the Gandharvas, they were chanting, they were singing, they showered flowers. So this shows, by practicing devotional service, the deeply rooted ignorance is destroyed. The prarabdha karma is destroyed. The desire to sin is also destroyed. How? By simply practicing devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, on what level all of our sinful activities are destroyed. We discussed this last week, that when we give less importance to the process of Krishna consciousness, unfortunately it forces us to take shelter of different kinds of process. Let me go and see my astrology. Let me change the design of my house. That means we are not learning the art of tolerating it. Because that is the real principle of devotional service. And to understand on what level all of our anarthas are destroyed, Srila Prabhupada explains in the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that bhakti has got two levels. One is santata bhakti and another is kadachit ki bhakti. Santata bhakti means devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. There is no stop. It is always going on. There is no stoppage in any condition. That is called as santata bhakti. And kadachit ki bhakti means devotional service which sometimes awakens. Just like during Janmashtami in India, you know, we see people are quite pious. During Janmashtami they will fast till 12 o'clock. They will come and take darshan of the Lord. They in fact celebrate Janmashtami in their homes. There are some people, even big industrialists, during Ekadashi day, they will not eat grains. That means once in 15 days, once on special occasion, they perform their devotional service. Kadachit ki, sometime. And even these two kinds of devotional service have further divisions. One is service with slight attachment. He has developed some attachment and is continually performing the devotional service. And the second one is spontaneous devotional service. There is natural attraction to perform devotional service. Therefore, he is always doing devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are two levels of santata bhakti. And next. And kadachit ki bhakti at three levels. What are these three levels? One is raga bhasamayi. In the raga bhasamayi bhakti, one is almost attached to devotional service. It may appear to be a contradiction. How is that he is not regularly doing devotional service? Sometime is doing devotional service. Then how is that there is almost attachment? Sometime it is seen. That even though one may have greater faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, because of the situations and circumstances, he may not be able to come regularly to the temple, he may not be able to associate with devotees regularly, he may not be able to chant Krishna's holy name regularly, but he has affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead only on rare occasions, as we discussed during Janmashtami or Ekadashi, he actually practices. Just like one devotee was mentioning. This is a brahmachari and his mother, she whenever comes to the temple, then only she chants the holy name. She is born in a Vaishnava family, but only when she comes to the temple, then she chants Hare Krishna. Either because of the circumstances, or some unknown reasons. So there is some kind of faith, that spontaneous faith is there, that I accept the Supreme Lord does exist, everything is working because of him, but he is not able to practice continuous devotional service. And raga bhasa shunya. Srila Prabhupada explains, this means that one is not specifically attached to devotional service, but he understands that it is my nature to be servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows his constitutional position. What is that? I am the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as a duty, sometime he may practice devotional service. He may go to Tirthasthan. He may offer some kind of puja to the Lord. Why? Because it is my constitutional position. And the third one is abhasa rupa. Abhasa means what? It is a shadow. Actually, there is no bhakti, but it's like a shadow. Shadow is not real. It is not substance. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains, in abhasa rupa bhakti, you can imagine this is the last level of devotional service. But on that stage, in Abhasa Rupa Bhakti, all of our kleshas are destroyed. Just see, that on the level of Abhasa Rupa, all of our klesha is destroyed. That is the lowest level of devotional service performed at some stage. But still, this kind of bhakti can destroy all of our kleshas. That is the power of devotional service. Ajamil had no program to practice devotional service. Just out of accident, just to remember his son, he chanted the names of Lord Narayan and he got the benefit. That is the power of practicing Krishna consciousness in comparison to all other process. All other process can eradicate sin, but they cannot destroy sins at the root. So, at this level, all of our sinful activities are destroyed. So, this is how we overcome our kleshas. And as the kleshas go down, Rupa Goswami quotes the next characteristics of devotional service. What is it? That is Shubhada. Srila Prabhupada explains, as the klesha go down, one start experiencing the bliss of practicing devotional service. As long as one is not freed from sinful activities, he cannot experience happiness. One time Tamal Krishna Maharaj was explaining here, he said, if you are burdened with sin, you can't raise your hands to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's a big burden. But as the sinful activities go down, then you feel yourself being very light. Devotees, when they chant, when they dance in the holy name of the Lord, it is not simply artificial. There is a power, because one is experiencing the bliss of practicing devotional service. And how is that bliss awakened? That bliss is awakened because our miseries are getting destroyed. In fact, Devamrita Swami Maharaj, one time he was saying that most sadhakas, they are miserable because, not that they are miserable, because they imagine they are miserable. Very wonderful point. That assumption in our devotional life, because we are sadhakas, is so much. What will happen if it happens like this? What will happen if it happens like that? So assumption is so great, even though there is unlimited bliss in practicing devotional service, because of these assumptions, even though one is blissful, one suffers. In fact, the nature of the mind is to create imaginary suffering. The nature of the mind is to create imaginary suffering even while practicing a blissful devotional service. Otherwise, as Rupa Goswami explains, you know, he has studied all the scriptures, the conclusion is that when the misery comes down, and when does the misery come down? Misery comes down when you take devotional service even on the platform of shadow bhakti, abhasa rupa. And when the misery comes down, one experiences the bliss of devotional service. So therefore, being too analytical in devotional service is not a good sign. That simply leads to greater misery. Sometimes we see when a devotee is giving a talk, you know, if he is speaking about particularly about some anarthas, after the talk is over, sometimes devotees come to the speaker and say, you are speaking to me only. You are talking about me only. It has happened so many times. A devotee thinks that, you know, the speaker exactly was pointing to me only. Why he had to speak about me only? Again, the imaginary suffering. The class is meant to enjoy. The class is meant to experience happiness. But by hearing Krishna Katha, because of imagination, we are suffering. That is our unfortunate condition. Otherwise, technically, according to Shastra, even on that level, Abhasa Rupa, all miseries are mitigated. And one is experiencing the bliss of devotional service in the heart. But unfortunately, the mind imagines that I am suffering. So let us understand what is the principle of Shubhada. Srila Srila Prabhupada explains, Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are four characteristics of Shubhadha. First is love of the entire creation. One who is practicing devotional service, it is quite natural for him to love everyone of this creation. He does not make any discrimination. That is the first principle. It is not that he loves the animals and at the same time he is killing his fellow human beings. Or else he loves the human beings but is killing the fellow animals. But when he is practicing devotional service, it is a natural quality that he becomes lover of entire creation. That is the first quality. Second, caring affection for all living entities. Again we discuss, just to brush it out, it is they are suffering their own reaction. It is not the sign of the heart of the devotee. Just like, you know, if you see sometime outside, especially nowadays, right outside our temple, there is a tea stall. And you'll find many young girls also smoking cigarette. Even if you don't want to see, you see it very clearly. And now there can be two reactions by a practicing devotee. You know, you condemn them, you know, rascals, nasty girls, smoking cigarette. That doesn't show that you're being compassionate to them. Or you feel, you know, they are so ignorant, they are inviting suffering for themselves. How do you react depends. If you react harshly, that means your heart has not become soft. If you react softly, seeing the sinful activities of others, that means devotional service has made your heart very soft. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to the Western world, when he came to America, most of us, we become impressed. We are influenced by their sinful activities. Let me also sin like them. Prabhupada said, when Indians go there, they become new crows. They feel that, you know, I didn't get this facilities to sin and become part of the suffering. But when Prabhupada went there, he saw everybody suffering and his heart was bleeding. In fact, they were thinking that they are enjoying, but Prabhupada was thinking they are suffering. One sannyasi from Sri Sampradaya, you know, he was approached by one grihastha. He said, "My dear sir, I want to take sannyas." I said, why do you want to take sannyas? He said, what are the qualifications for you to take sannyas? He said, because see, even though my wife died, I didn't cry. He said, there were no tears in my eyes, so it shows that when I am freed from the desire, I am freed from this durguna, being affectionate to my family members. He said, I didn't cry. There was not even one drop of tears from my eyes. That shows that I am qualified to take sannyas. I am completely detached. And the sannyasi said, "My dear son, I think you should get remarried. He said, "Why?" He said, "Because if you cannot cry for your own family members, how can you cry for others? You could not cry for your own family member when she died. That means you do not have the facilities to make your heart soft. As a sannyasi, a quality of a sannyasi is that he has to cry for other suffering. If you don't have these qualities, you are not fit to take sannyas. Better develop the quality of affection. Then you come back to me. Then I can think about giving you sannyas." Another story is there in the Vallabhacharya. Two people approached Vallabhacharya. One was a great scholar. He said, "My dear sir, I want to stay in your ashram. I become detached from all materialistic activities. I don't feel for anyone." Vallabhacharya said, "Okay, let me think about taking you inside the ashram. You come after some time." And the second person came. He had lost his son. He was crying and weeping. He said, my life is completely lost now. I'm useless and I become hopeless now. You give me shelter." Vallabhacharya immediately took him into the ashram. And his disciple said, "My dear sir, what is this? You know, the previous person had the quality of being completely detached. But this person has no quality being detached." Vallabhacharya said, "My job is very easy. First person has no affection for anybody. And to become a devotee of the Lord, you have to affection for Krishna. So it's a big job to make him affectionate to the Lord. But this person has already affection, only have to turn it. I just have to make it for Krishna. Ramanujacharya, when he saw Dhanurdas, everybody knows that story. Ramanujacharya did not see that as a disqualification in Dhanurdas, that he was so attached to that prostitute. He was totally absorbed in her. Ramanujacharya saw that as a great quality. He said, I have to just turn it. That he already has the quality of being attached to somebody else, just transfer it to Krishna. So therefore, a Shubhada means when all the kleshas are destroyed, by practicing devotional service we have not made our hard heart. The natural quality is that a devotee becomes very affectionate to others. Therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that if you do not perform the act of giving food, when you see suffering in others, that is not the sign of being a devotee. Even though giving food may be a mundane activity, but devotee when he does it, he naturally going to give a prasad. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time in Jagannath Puri, he saw some of his disciples were avoiding giving beggars some coins. Very wonderful incident. When Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saw that his disciples were not giving money to beggars, in the name of saying that they will misuse these funds, they will misuse this money for wrong purpose. Again, it is technically correct, but devotionally it is wrong. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told them, he said, now you are justifying saying that they will misuse it. But by doing this, by not giving, you are making your hard heart. And that is not the sign of a devotee. As you reject these beggars, you will cultivate that quality of not giving, and that will also come to Krishna. You will not give it to Krishna also. Better cultivate the quality of giving. Make your heart soft by giving to the beggars, so that you can understand what is the quality of a devotee. One time Sridhar Maharaj was telling, when Srila Prabhupada was staying very close to Valkeshwar, and then he stayed in one place, one rich man's house. After his stay, when he had to go to the other place, he called all the servants and he called his secretary. He said, give me 50 rupees notes. In those times, 50 rupees was a big note. And he distributed every servant who helped Srila Prabhupada to stay there and created proper facilities. He gave everybody 50 rupees. And devotees were shocked. How can you give Krishna's money? But Prabhupada knew the art of practicing devotional service properly. So therefore, that caring affection for all living entities, that is a natural characteristic of a devotee, that he extend himself to the suffering of others. And third quality is that, by practicing devotional service, when the kleshas are destroyed, what happens is the third thing? That you develop all saintly qualities. It is explained by our acharyas that the saintly qualities are personification. It is not a quality impersonal. Qualities are their personification. When they see devotee practicing devotional service according to the shastras, under the guidance of the spiritual master, they line. There is a rush of all the saintly qualities to come and decorate the character of a great devotee. You don't have to force yourself to develop these qualities, but all these saintly qualities, they force themselves that I want to decorate your existence, your personification. So in this way, a devotee is decorated by all these saintly qualities. And Rupa Goswami quotes, Yashasti bhaktir bhagavatir akinchana sarvair gunaya chatra samasate sura harau abhaktase kuto mahadguna manoratena dhavato bahi. That the devotee of the Lord, he is decorated by all the good qualities. All the qualities which are mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the 26 qualities spontaneously are attracted by the practice of a devotee. And Srila Prabhupada explains, in contrast to a non-devotee, one who thinks that by acquiring material education, my life will become auspicious, But you see, their life is not becoming auspicious. High education is there, big money is there, but their life is full of misery. In the form of that, they don't have the art also to develop a relationship with their immediate family members. You don't find in the Indian villages, even though it has been accused that in Indian villages, you know, the family members are not treated properly. But even in that condition, they stay together. They live together. They understand each other properly. But in the modern setup, big education is there, but there are big relationship problems. Even if there is a slight provocation, they don't want to stay together. They have all kinds of sinful behavior. Prabhupada said they go to nightclubs, even if they are so old, 80, 70 years old, they are performing all kinds of sinful activities. But a Krishna conscious person, even though he is not educated, he may be illiterate, but he has got all the good qualities. Spontaneously practices four regulative principles. He does not gamble, he does not eat meat, he does not take any kind of intoxication. Even though he may not be learned, like we have one of our devotee's son. He wanted to go to the McDonald's. And the father didn't say that, okay, I will not take you there, it is bad. His father said, okay, let us go. But you know what? He told his son, I will take you there, but the problem is there in the McDonald's, you know, they kill cows. You know, they serve hamburgers. And how it comes? It comes from the animal killing. And this is a small four-year-old boy, when he heard that from his father, that they are living such an inauspicious and cruel life, he said, okay, I'll never go there. On his own, even though uneducated, not intelligent, but by simply connected to Krishna consciousness parents, he developed that conviction that I will never go there. And one who does not have that conviction, brought from Krishna consciousness, even though he sees that there are so many sinful activities are going on, he will become part of that sin. In fact, he will cry to perform that sinful activities. He will aspire to perform those sinful activities. I remember one time I was in one college and one student. He was born in a Brahmin family. And he was condemning that it is my unfortunate situation that I am born in this family. I said, why? He said, because I am born in a Brahmin family. You know, there are so many hindrances in my material progress. He said, how? Because as a Brahmin I cannot eat meat. As a Brahmin I cannot take liquor. He knew the principles of Brahmana, and therefore he said, because of this, and if I have to go to West, I know that I am not supposed to do it. And therefore I cannot enjoy. My progress is hindered. So he is lamenting the position which he had received because of his pious life, being born in a Brahmin family. That he was considering as a burden, not as an advantage to practice devotional service. But if somebody is born in a low family but practices devotional service, then he can easily get rid of all his nonsensical activities and he will feel great bliss that I am practicing this principle. And Prabhupada told many times this. He said, even if you give my disciples crores of rupees and ask them, go to the bar, go to the nightclub, go to the movies, they will not go. Why? We hope that they don't go. We hope that we don't go. That is Prabhupada's confidence in us. He is expecting that by practicing devotional service, we have already developed those qualities. He said, even if you give them crores of rupees, they will not go to these kind of activities. Why? They are experiencing higher pleasure. They are experiencing higher pleasure by simply practicing devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Automatically they develop all kinds of saintly qualities. When Giriraj Maharaj, when they are fighting that Nair's case in the court, you know, some of the opposing members, they wanted to make Giriraj Maharaj fall down. So in the courtroom, they sent a prostitute so that she can entice him. And she came and sat next to him, and Giriraj Maharaj didn't know anything. And she was trying to brush him through her body. You can imagine an American coming to India, But his conviction was so great, he said, what is this nonsense? He said, I cannot, you know, put down Srila Prabhupada. He has got such a confidence in me, so I have to live up to his desires. And he walked from there, he left that place and sat in some other place. So all the saintly qualities, this sense, self-control, feeling insignificant about the material desires, are all developed by simply going through the process of Krishna consciousness. And the fourth, Srila Prabhupada explains, one experiences great bliss. There are three kinds of pleasures, which Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One is happiness from material enjoyment. In fact, it is explained that one can resist material energy if one actually feels satisfaction in the process of Krishna consciousness. If the inner satisfaction is there, then one can easily avoid the temptation. If the inner satisfaction is not there, then temptations are very difficult to avoid. So that inner satisfaction is the happiness derived from practicing devotional service. So Rupa Goswami speaks about three kinds of happiness. One is happiness by engaging in sense gratification. Second happiness is experienced through Brahman realization. And third happiness, which is the highest one, is attained by practicing devotional service. Sometimes there is a controversy. Some people say that there is no happiness in this material world. And some say there is happiness in this material world. Srila Prabhupada said, he quoted that Vidyapade's poem, Taitali Saikate Vari Bindu Sama. He said, in the material world, there is a happiness. We discussed this in the preface of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The impetus, the inspiration to work for the country, inspiration to work for the family, inspiration to work for the society, where does it come from? That rasa, one derives because there is a satisfaction. Even though that satisfaction is very meager, but that satisfaction is there. That satisfaction is like one drop of water on the desert. That satisfaction is there. Otherwise, one will not try to attain that satisfaction. So that material satisfaction is there. One is obsessed by the glittering civilization, Prabhupada explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Therefore, the materialistic people think that devotees are unintelligent. They are trying to attain something which is beyond their reach. Now there is happiness, and why you are looking for some happiness which is beyond your reach? But they don't realize that this happiness is very flickering. At the time of death, everything will be taken away. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord, he is not interested in such kind of happiness. That is material happiness. And even material happiness is two kinds. One is the Parthiva Sukha and one is Swargiya Sukha. In the heavenly planets, the happiness is so much, it is so unlimited. Compared to the material happiness, happiness in the heavenly planet is so unlimited that the demigods sometimes don't even sleep. Because the resources for happiness is unlimited. So, these two kinds of happiness are there in the material world. Therefore, you know, the demigods, they want to stay in the material realm, in the Swargalok. And they are so attached to it, even though they know that spiritual world can offer greater happiness, but because of their conditioning, they don't want to get out of that facility. They don't want to get out of that place. But by practicing devotional service, Rupa Goswami explains, one can see that material happiness is insignificant. One can see that devotional happiness is much greater than material happiness. And the second happiness is identification with Brahman, or thinking, emerging into the Brahman effulgence, aspiring to attain the Sayujya Mukti, and aspiring for all different kinds of mystic siddhis. Srila Prabhupada explains, the temptation to exhibit mystic potency is so great You can imagine that you are exhibiting something and you are controlling over people. There are 8 prominent mystic siddhis and there are about 15 secondary mystic siddhis, which is explained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And even if you have one of these siddhis, it is so great that you can actually control over people. There was one such yogi in South India, you know, one big Maharashtrian officer went to visit him. He was a big scientist. And they were walking on the bank of the ocean in Rameshwar, in the holy land of Rameshwar, and he was chanting one song, glorification of Lord Ramachandra. And he put his hand and he picked up some water from the ocean and he concluded the shloka saying, Sa Mudraha. Now ocean is not meant to catch fish. Ocean is meant to catch Sa Mudra. Mudra means pearls. Therefore it is called as Samudra. There are mudras. So when this yogi picked up water, all the water went out of his hand. But then he saw, this big man, he saw many pearls were there in his hand. And he became so fascinated by this saint, this so-called yogi, he became his ardent follower. Then he started giving his donation to him. One time, you know, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he was in Chicago attending one religious conference. After the conference was over, one such yogi came to him. He said, look, you know, I got this different kinds of siddhis. I can create something. Right in front of him, only 2 of them were there. You know, he created Rudraksh. And he gave it to Maharaj. He said, you hold in your hand. He was holding this Rudraksh in his hand. And then this, you know, yogi, he raised his hand. And from his palm, you know, Maharaj saw that there was constant flow of bhasma. He covered the Rudraksh with his bhasma. Of course, Maharaj was not impressed. Why do you do this? He asked him this question. What is the utility of this exercise? He said, very easy, very simple. He said, when I perform this kind of activities, then people become very much influenced by my actions. Then whatever I have to speak, they will accept. Just see, just to convince his philosophy, which is illogical, non-shastric, when he creates this kind of magic, immediately people start believing whatever he says. And he said that, I only use this exercise so that people can accept my philosophy. And Prabhupada writes this, that people use this to convince others of their philosophy, and more than that, they use this so that they can amass large quantity of wealth. These mystic powers are very, very great. When German scholar, I think it was Srila Prabhupada's godbrother Sadanand Maharaj, when he came to India looking for spiritual master, in his search for God, he met many such so-called yogis. You know, they could walk on the water, they float on the water, as our Parikshit Prabhu was explaining. Before he joined Hare Krishna, you know, he had another teacher and he could levitate. He would go above the ground, right? He used to do that? Yeah, he used to do. He has the experience of going above the ground. But when he would come down, his head would start aching. Very painful. So you have the art of levitating, means you are becoming very light, you are going above the ground. So this German scholar who was seeking for God, when he came to India, he met such yogis. They could walk on the water, you know, they could actually, you know, become very light. But he realized that all these kind of siddhis, our scientists have attained through yantra. One is mantra siddhi and one is yantra siddhi. So what is the utility? He was not impressed by that. Better he thought, let me take to the path of practicing pure Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada elaborates on Ashta Siddhis. So all these siddhis Prabhupada explains that one can touch the moon by his finger. You are standing here and you are touching the moon by your finger. And there is one siddhi through which you can go through the sun rays to sun planet. By prapti siddhi, you can get pomegranates from Kabul. Srila Prabhupada's father's friend's guru, you know, he would stay in Calcutta and actually get pomegranates from Kabul. Fresh pomegranates. Jananivas Prabhu was telling one time, there was one such person who attained such a siddhi. His siddhi was that he had to take some powder, then he would become monkey. And he had to take another powder to come back as a human being. And he would give that powder to his wife. He said, you keep this powder, and when I come back, then you give me this powder, then I come back as a human being. And because even though he had this siddhi, but what was his mentality? His mentality was like a monkey only. He would go to the different ghats of Ganga, and he would tease all the women who would come there to wash clothes. So, why to become monkey? That propensity is already there. And by yogic siddhi, he was acting more a monkey. And unfortunately, one day, you know, his wife also used to go to wash clothes. She, you know, by the flow of the Ganga, that powder became part of the Ganges river. Then he remained monkey for the rest of his life. Rather than becoming monkey next lifetime, because of his activities, material nature gave him the facilities to become monkey in this very lifetime. So yogic siddhis does not guarantee your refined character. By practicing yogic siddhi, one might become so distorted person. Like one time we had gone to one place in Maharashtra while doing book distribution. And this man, this so-called sadhu, we went to the temple, we stayed in the night, we didn't know what was there inside the temple. Early morning when we got up, we went to take darshan. But there was no Lord Narayan, there was no Krishna. There was his picture, the sadhu. He was covered with direction, no clothes. He had four hands and the head was of Lord Narayan. It was looking so ugly. And we asked him, how is that? What is this? He said, our guru is to perform, you know, mystic potency. He had this mystic siddhi. And he came to the stage of samadhi. And at the stage of samadhi, he realized that he is that four-handed form Vishnu. And Prabhupada writes in one purport, even at this stage of samadhi, the mystic siddhis, they were wrong calculation, they were wrong understanding. They see 400 Vishnu form, but they conclude that this 400 Vishnu form is mine. So we don't know he saw or not, but actually he had a wrong understanding. That his picture was there, but on the top of the head, up to here, it was Lord Narayana's picture. It was looking quite abominable. In Jagannath Puri also we were there. You know, all the different veshas of Lord Jagannath. In Jagannath Puri, you know, Lord Jagannath is so beautiful. The Jagannath Pandas are selling this picture of one bogus yogi, his picture right in the middle instead of Lord Jagannath. And it was showing that how he expands himself as different veshas in different years during the different festivals of Lord Jagannath. Therefore, in the first place, the mystic siddhis itself can cause great temptation. And even if you attain perfection up to the level of samadhi, still one might be in confusion. Therefore, Prabhupada, you know, he rejects all the siddhis, saying that a devotee is not at all interested in these siddhis. And there are secondary siddhis. They are 15 in number. One is anurmimatvam. That means you overcome hunger, thirst. There was one lady in Odisha. You know, she used to, when she came to her in-law's house, she was not doing any household duties. Her work was, whatever the mother-in-law was cooking, she would eat. She would gulp morning, afternoon and evening. And all the members of the in-laws became so disgusted with her. You know, they started criticizing her. They started chastising her. When she could not tolerate, it became too much because that was her nature to eat so much. She approached one Baba there who was living in the remote corner. She said, look, I have been criticized by my parents, my in-laws, because I eat too much. But I cannot give up. That is my conditioned nature. You know, my parents trained me, you know, like a garbage can continue eating. So how can I avoid it? So this sage had this siddhi. He gave that siddhi to her. He said, don't worry that I gave you this siddhi. I will give you this siddhi. By this, what will happen? That you will never feel hunger. You will never feel thirsty. And for the next 40 years, she never ate anything. It's a true story. That he provided that siddhi to her. By doing that, she never felt hunger. Just like we see, even in the modern age, people have pills. You take one pill, you don't have to eat anything. You just keep taking those pills, you don't feel hungry. When our Radha Gopinath Prabhu was mentioning, when the people go to space, the astronauts, they can't carry huge stock of food. So they have to do lot of experiments and create some kind of pills. By eating that pill, you don't feel thirsty. By eating that pill, you don't feel hungry. That means you take minimal food so that your space does not become very heavy. So, to some extent, the materialistic scientists have attained this kind of siddhi. And then, dhura shravanam, you can hear others prajalpa. You are sitting here and you can understand what's happening in somebody else's house. And dhura darshana, you sit here and hear what's happening and see what's happening in somebody else's place. So all these different kinds of kama rupam, the monkey one, that you take a role, you become a monkey and go around, that is accepting different kinds of bodies. Parakaya pravesham, this was exhibited by Shankaracharya when he had to debate with Mandan Mishra, one of the great scholar, his wife. She said, okay, you have discussed everything, but what about Shringar Ras? Shankaracharya said, I have no experience of Shringar Ras, but I will come back to you. And Shankaracharya entered into the dead body of the local king and he experienced the Shringar Ras and he came back and debated with the wife of Mandana Mishra. That is Parakaya Pravesh. It is not that the ghosts have the Parakaya Pravesh mystic potency. They are haunting. But this is, you are actually going to somebody else's body. And Swachand Mrityu, this was offered to Shantanu offered this to Bhishma Dev. That whenever you desire, it is not committing suicide. That is not Swachand Mrityu. Swachand Mrityu means, you know, you live long, many, many years, and then you decide, okay, on Uttarayan, on the Shukla Paksha, I want to give up my body when all these saintly persons are there. Bhishma Dev, he attracted Lord Krishna by his devotion and he also arranged everything, a very suitable environment so that he can quit his body. So we'll stop here and if there is any questions or comment and we'll continue the next part of the Siddhis and the happiness in devotional service in our next class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Because last 3 weeks we could not take any questions. Yes?
When the old people retire from the active life, they look into the family for their happiness. Now happiness, if the children take care of him, if the grandchildren love him, if the friends, retired friends, give him a company, he gets his provisions, I mean he is happy. He is materially happy. And he has no time or intention or inclination towards the devotional service. But if by chance he is frustrated from the material happiness, if he doesn't get what he is expecting, he turns towards the social work or, better enough, towards the devotional. Now, this sort of happiness, how are we classifying this happiness, this frustration-oriented happiness, and how do we feel that whether God has made these children, unfaithful children, an instrument for him to make the devotional, or is it his karma, or how the karma has worked over it?
Everything is right. Whatever you spoke, all the different points you have spoken. One is somebody is experiencing happiness within his family after retirement. you know, he is satisfied completely. His children are taking care of him. You know, the grandchildren are giving him a lot of affection. And the grandfather is telling them the stories. He is happy. But is most unfortunate. Why? Because he has no devotional service. Prabhupada calls in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that is almost on the animalistic level. Happiness is there, but where that happiness will lead? So, when he is frustrated by the family members, which is the general case, rarely happens, especially in the stage of Kali, that you feel satisfied by the family members. The most cases, yes, there will be a frustration. But even with that frustration, not everybody takes to devotional service. In fact, when there is a frustration by the family members, he blames God. I did everything for my family members, but they are not doing anything to me. Why not God takes care of this? It is very rare that somebody will come to devotional service even in that frustrated level. We don't see every diseased person becoming a devotee. In fact, Prabhupada says a diseased person mostly becomes agnostic. He loses faith in God. So if you are frustrated and then you come to Krishna, that means you are really, you know, you had the piety of becoming a devotee. You had the pious credits of becoming a devotee, and frustration was an instrument for you to come to devotional service. That is the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But don't think that everybody, you know, as our Radhanath Prabhu, one was here, he was saying that in the Western world, not even 1% people die a natural death. 99% of the people die unnatural death. Unnatural death means what? Frustration. So already it is there, but you don't see everybody has become devotee. In fact, most people become insane. Old age home, what is it? Old age home is not the sign of advancement of civilization. That means they are completely frustrated. The children don't want to take care of them. Therefore, they have put them to old age home. But if somebody, when he is frustrated, I read one article, one IAS officer in Delhi, when he retired, he got so harassed by his son and his daughter-in-law, they were staying in his own home. He built a huge house because he took a lot of bribe, but there was no satisfaction. So when his children had gone for some vacation, he sold that house without the notice of his children, and he started staying in the restaurant, in the big hotel. He said, I am staying, it is worse than being in a lodge. Better I stay in a lodge. At least the workers in the lodge will take good care of me. So, not that everybody will take to devotional service because simply they are frustrated. Happiness will not give you devotional service. Frustration will not give you devotional service. If there is a connection, then you will, either you are happy or not happy, you will come to devotional service. But there is a chances when you are completely disgusted, and at that time if you meet a devotee of the Lord, and if he tells you about higher kinds of happiness, then you can become a devotee. I remember one devotee had come. And this boy, when he was 14 years old, he committed his first murder. And down the line, you know, for 7 years, he did 7 more murders. At the age of 21, he had already killed 7 to 8 people. And he was miserable like anything. He was studying, he was a very intelligent boy. He was doing his post-graduation. But in that condition, when he was experiencing frustration, guilt, I have done such sinful activities, you can't avoid it. He saw one devotee in the college campus. And he saw this devotee was very affluent, especially was a new devotee practicing devotional service, you know, for 1 or 2 years. Naturally, he was very blissful. So he saw him being very blissful, very enthusiastic. So he asked him, why are you so happy? And this devotee said, because I practice devotional service. And within 3 months, you know, this man became a devotee. He went to the police. He said, I have done all this crime, so you punish me. The police said, you have done our job. Don't worry, you go. He said, what we were supposed to do, you have done our job, so we don't file any case against you. So the point is, you know, the connection, if it is there with a devotee, then at that level, you can experience the bliss of practicing devotional service. That's the point. Otherwise, just frustration does not lead to devotional service. Most time frustration leads to suicide. People commit suicide, they take shelter of drugs, they go insane, they're depressed. But very rarely that one can take up to devotional service. And then it has to be taken as what? The arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that I can come to devotional service. But the much better is that, the much better way to come to devotional service is that, you know, from very beginning practicing the culture of spirituality. Then as a duty, not out of frustration, not out of seeking peace, not out of seeking some kind of material happiness, you'll come to Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati